across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Vladimir, my man, glad to see you got the memo. They said we should smile and act like good buddies when we meet this time. Now, don't you worry. Like I told you before the election, if I win, you get anything you want. Now, I need a little favor. I want you to let me blow up a few hillsides, camel farms, and a few unoccupied portalettes. To show how tough and smart about world affairs I am. In exchange, you wipe out whoever you want. And I'll convince the world I'm not George Bush. And do nothing. Lair Adams for the best political professional wrestling show in the country. The American Adversaries at Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. And now for my co-host, our own Middle East expert with sand in his teeth, Christopher Hart!
All right. Thank you so very much, Lair Adams, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us this fine evening. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and we are live. 407-774-8255 is that number. And, yep, Syria is once again still on the front burner. We now know, thank you to John Kerry, that the United States is willing to act as a mercenary. In response to a question yesterday, he said that if the United States were to take action in Syria, that the other Arab countries in the region have promised to pony up the money, no matter how much it takes. Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Tell me another one. A little rift between Kerry and Obama here?
Yeah, there's little rifts developing here and there.
He didn't get the memo that Obama gave the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's right. So, but there's a lot to chew on there. There's absolutely right. And we're going to chew on that real hard tomorrow and Sunday night. And going forward, and by the way, next Thursday, a week from tonight, we have Colonel Danny McKnight, who's going to be joining us as well, and we're going to get his thoughts on this situation in Syria, because it is eerily reminiscent of what went on in Somalia, where you had these various factions where nobody knew really who was who, all fighting amongst themselves, and in the United States, in an attempt to be the peacemaker, if you will, stepping in the middle of it all. However, today, we're going to talk a little football. Because not only does the NFL season start tonight, but there's a lot of news not having to do with football, about football or whatever. But we're going to talk about a lot of this. And of course, we couldn't have a better expert on the game other than Mike McBath. Mike, once again, welcome back to the show.
Always great to be here.
Now, Mike,
enjoy your guys' act. You do a great job here.
Thank you very much. Mike.
It's not an act. It's real. It's real, man.
We are genuine. We're the real thing. That's for sure. You get what you pay for here. That's for sure. But Mike is a Penn State grad, Penn State alumni, played for Joe Paterno, and then also played in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills during the 70s, I believe it was, Mike.
60s and 70s,
60s, that's right.
And we're also, real low.
We also are pleased to have in our studio a fellow, I say fellow because I'm a UCF grad, a fellow UCF grad who went on to play for the New England Patriots, none other than running back Elgin Davis, star running back. Welcome to the show tonight, Elgin.
Hey, thank you, Chris. I appreciate you inviting me on the show, brother.
Oh, yeah, anytime. Mike, let's start with the news that was just on the news, if you folks were listening during the break there, and that is the situation with the Predators. Now, the Predators being the Orlando Predators is due to you. You brought the Orlando Predators to town. You own the team for a number of years. You no longer are part of the ownership group. What do you think is going on here between the city and the Predators?
Well, you know, unfortunately, when you deal, you know, with city people, they're government officials. And I think politics has something to do in this area. That's another case that, you know, when we bought it, we had exceptional attendance. As you know, I think we sold out every game 5 out of 6 years. You know, the Predators were the hottest thing going into town. And obviously when we changed ownership, and the ownership at that time was Tracy Allen, Davey Johnson, and myself were the principal owners. And we sold it to Bushy, whatever. You know, he had a different style, and obviously the style, you know, began to take its toll on attendance. Now, I'm still a big fan of arena football. I love to watch it. It's hot action. You know, it's something to do in the summer. And I saw the article today, and it sort of breaks your heart because, you know, when you would go there, you don't know how many tickets are not paid for. And, you know, like most of the games, it looked like the turnstile was 11 to 12,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the paper. Now, who knows if this is correct? Now, you know, we know what's in the paper all the time, and about half of what you read is correct. You know, they're saying that probably the average page was close to the 4,000 to 5,000. Well, the answer is, and hopefully this is not the case, and they've got a new, I know the new owner, the new guy, is really solid financially.
Yeah, by the way, folks, if you didn't catch the news, Bochy left the team during the season, and now he's part of the new LA Kiss ownership group.
Right. Okay. I'm sure they'll do real well, boy.
But
the whole point behind it is, if they have trouble leasing to the Predators, I want somebody in the city to explain to myself and many of my associates who think the same way I do, is why are we building an $85 million soccer stadium when and this is not to reflect poorly on the soccer team. They do a great job, et cetera. And I think maybe a $10 million stadium would hold all their fans because the reality of it is they don't even cross 5,000 people.
No.
And they've been here, what, 2, 3, 4 years now.
And that's once again paid attendance.
How do we justify an $85 million taxpayer, mostly paid stadium? Is that sort of like the train we're building?
That nobody's going to use.
Yeah, sure. Right. No one's going to use the train. And what are we going to do with that stadium when they're not playing soccer? Are we going to make it for rock concerts? I thought that's what the arena for. What are we going to do with that soccer stadium? And this isn't reflecting poorly on soccer. I like soccer. A lot of kids play soccer. And I think it's great. But what are we spending $85 million for now? If they want to spend it, let the owner of the team spend it.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, let me ask you this now. What about the competition? Right now, the Magic, I'd say the Orlando Magic, about as popular as colonoscopies. And when could this be a little part of that jealousy or that competition? You know, the Magic's the Orlando team.
Well,
if the Predators, you know.
And let me add to that question.
Feel a little bit of that.
Let me add to that question because the Predators and the city were having problems this season because of the sweetheart deal the Magic have with the arena.
The Magic have always had a priority deal. And I just, you know, when you think the Predators have been here, what, 21, 22 years, you would think you would deal real fairly with them to the point of, like, the Magic. And the other thing they didn't bring up is, hey, I wonder how season tickets are doing with the Magic.
Right. Well, and what else? What's the competition here?
Right. And,
who's going to fill those seats that the Predators do now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, what's going to happen in those dates?
A lot of people really, I want to have a team come to Orlando and take that space.
And then,
all right.
And then the other thing, too, is, and we've all been downtown, the Magic game, Predator games, et cetera, and now the Magic and the city are going to do that complex right around the arena. But what happened to all those poor people who have the stores and stuff that are currently around? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on? And, you know, this $85 million Come on.
Yeah,
what a joke, you know?
Yeah, I think that that the sweetheart deal that the city has with the Magic is playing a huge role in the way that they're treating the Predators here.
No, I will concur with you on that.
Yeah. Just for a question, is there anywhere else in town the Predators could realistically play?
You know, I don't. One thought, and I don't know, and this would have to be discussed because I don't know if the NCAA or somebody would be against it. You could probably play in the arena at UCF.
That's exactly right.
Because UCF, obviously a lot of kids are around mm-hmm. the summer because big-time campus. There's a lot of, they like football. It's entertainment too. It's, you know, arena football is, you know, it's indoor party football, which fits in a lot.
Yeah.
And so, it would it be perfect? I don't know, but I think you could run it substantially less and make the team viable.
That's right.
So that's something, but I don't know what the rules are.
Well,
you know,
and,
of both.
And what a slap in the face to the government of Orlando. That's two. First of all, they got their own arena and said, goodbye, Orlando, forget you, and now get the Predators. That would be cool.
Do you think the UCF arena, you'd say Elgin would accommodate?
I think it would be a great opportunity because, you know, sometimes you need that, you need a competitor. You need someone to help both sides come together quicker. And I think it would be an easy solution, a temporary solution, because I don't think that it would be a permanent solution, but it would be a start in the right direction because I think it'll do a lot for the UCF program. It would definitely generate more publicity for the school, and at the bottom line, it's going to generate more dollars that the athletic department can use in a productive way. So I think, you know, Mike, I think you're onto something here. I just don't know the logistics as well.
Yeah. Well, just remember, folks, Mike is the one who brought the Predators here and had a tremendous success both on and off the field with the Predators when you had the ownership.
Well, it was always a lot of fun, and we certainly had fabulous fans. And, again, the sport itself, you know, I still enjoy because I like football.
Absolutely.
And as much as people sometimes say, well, I'm not sure that's football. Yeah, it's football. It's just rock and roll football.
Yeah,
they sure play hard out on that field, too. Okay, folks, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Elgin Davis and Mike McBath, two former NFL stars. And you're welcome to join in the conversation. 407-774-8255 is that number.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, and lo prometto.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time, where you never know what you're going to get when you tune into us. Okay, I'm Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we have a couple of great friends of ours, Elgin Davis, former UCF and New England Patriots star, and Mike McBath, former Penn Stater and Buffalo Bills star. And you played, you were a defensive lineman, I believe, but you played when O.J. Simpson was
back
part of
O.J. and Al Cowings, Marty Schottenheimer.
Who was the quarterback then?
Oh, geez, I don't even want to tell you. Actually, no, I'll tell you.
Methuselah.
It started with Jack Kemp.
That's right, Jack Kemp.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll give you the worst story of all is Jack, during his prime time, is a very good athlete and a great quarterback and everything. So he comes to the Bills, and it's his final year. And I think that was my rookie year, right? And, I mean, he is just horrendous, right? So now he decides that he's going to go into politics, which was the beginning.
Sure.
So what they did around the city of Buffalo, they put signs up that said, please elect Jack Kemp to Congress and get him off the Bills. But you know what? It worked, and he was certainly a great contributor to, you know.
Well, yeah, I can see him using that.
Oh, yeah.
He was a good guy,
a likable guy, extremely articulate. He was an entrepreneurial type city. He was a business-oriented guy. And, I mean, he was just a guy, wrong time, wrong place, but what a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then one other guy, Jimmy Harris, who was actually the first black quarterback. They always say Doug.
Doug Williams.
Wrong. Jimmy Harris,
that's right.
Started with the Bills, I think it was in 70 or 71. And then he played a few more years, and then they traded him to the Rams.
That's right.
And he ended up. I don't ever get how that always ends up. I was going to ask you that.
How does that end up? You know what I mean?
It's the sports writers. It's kind of like political writers.
They say it's gospel.
Yeah.
How important are the facts, right?
That's right. Yeah, as long as they make them. Listen, guys, you know, coming into the studio today, I was listening to Michael Medved, and he was talking football. Coincidentally, he probably saw that you guys are going to be on our show. so he decided to scoop us. But seriously, he had a couple of fellas on there. One, Daniel J. Flynn, who just wrote a book. It's called The War on Football, Saving America's Game. And he also had another fellow on there, Sean Papillon, who has got a new documentary out about the sport of football. It was kind of, one was attacking football. I wouldn't say attacking football, but certainly trying to say how dangerous the sport is. And the other fellow who's talking, who, Daniel Flynn, was defending the sport. Mm-hmm. Now, you played in the 60s and 70s, Mike, and Elgin, you played in the 80s up to 90. What do you think? Do you think that the sport, these claims that the sport is more dangerous than ever and there's serious changes need to be made, do you think that that is overblown? Elgin, let me go to you first.
Well, I think that football has always been a dangerous sport. The question is, why is it being so, you know, so visualized now throughout the community, whether it's on radio, TV? And I think it's because of those hidden dangers that's now exposed. The concussion issues, the issues of players that's in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. And when any time you have lawsuits and money involved, there's going to be some political changes in the nature of the game. Not that the game is different, but the politics in which the game is played is different. Because we're dealing with millions and millions of dollars. We're back in the 70s and 60s when these guys played. You were lucky to get a salary of $25,000. So money does change the complexity of a lot of things, my friend.
Well, that, of what he was talking about, too, was about the effect of young boys getting into football. And from personal experience, when I was in middle school, I broke my arm playing flag football, and that event kept me from being a ballet dancer. So, you know, it's ruined my life, guys.
You know? Mike?
I look good in a tutu.
Mike, you played in the 60s and 70s. Yeah. Do you think that the sport is remarkably more dangerous today? Because some statistics show that the sport is actually safer today.
Well, I think Elgin, at least, this is really going back, but I just about remember in high school, leather helmets.
Yes, okay?
Sure.
But what happened when I was young, and this was the norm back then, we would have, like, neighborhood football games, but we had no equipment. Like, you know, your seven guys,
my seven guys,
and we just play football. We'd tackle and do everything.
That's what
we
did.
We didn't have helmets.
Right.
Or shoulder pads. We just did it.
We did it on parking lots.
I know. And then, you know, you played street football and everything else. And I think, though, the big factor has been the helmet, you know, because the helmet has gotten stronger, stronger, and people try to envision that, unfortunately, now as a weapon. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It probably is a weapon.
Well, the only way I see the game is different in terms of the violence is that the players are faster and stronger. The collisions have more of a greater impact. And so whereas a player in my day, I mean, a lineman back then was maybe 250 pounds,
yeah,
Mike?
260 right now.
260? I mean, you can't hardly find a player on an NFL team today that's under 320 pounds. Does that extra 50 pounds make a difference when you're running, you know, 4.6s and 4.6s? Absolutely it does. And I think that because of the just the stress to be able to make a play, make it faster and quicker, because the implication is money.
And it's harder on them.
And it's harder on
them. The big men.
Right.
Another thing, too, is which referring back to what Elgin had to say is, again, on this concussion issue, which we'll talk about maybe in the how this lawsuit
situation works. Yeah, I was going to get to that, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the object is, and I've seen a number of fellas that I know, because as he pointed out, this is the first time you've had guys that played in the 50s, the 60s, and 70s actually become older individuals in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And now we're really getting a ramification of what actually happened to the person in their teens and 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that should be remembered, though, is there's 4 million people that play football when you count Pop Warner all the way through to the pros. There's only 1,600 pros. You know, probably more advanced problems are just associated with professional football and not the lower level. But, I mean, the big issue is we must find out, I guess through cognitive testing, you know, where this issue of concussion starts, you know, in the sense that can you get a baseline on kids that are 10 years old, maybe see how they're doing at 15, how they're doing at 20. And I reflect back on that poor young man in Apopka High School, the quarterback that got knocked out for the second time.
Yeah, Darlington.
Yeah, hopefully everything's fine. You know, when does he go back? Mm-hmm. Where does he go back? Mm-hmm. You know, where do we get an indication of what's the right thing to do for all these young fellows?
Well, Mike, can I share this, though? I remember I was in the ninth grade,
mm-hmm.
and the football team.
That's why I broke my arm.
We were practicing inside the gym, and they pitched me a ball. And out of nowhere, a guy came flying full speed and just tackled me. And the first thing to hit the gym floor, that wooden floor, was my head. Now, I don't remember how I got home. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Only thing I remember, I was sleepy. I wanted to take a nap. And how football had conditioned me is that you have to be strong. Shake it off. Get mm-hmm. back up and right. get back in there. And I didn't know what a concussion was at that yeah. age. I just knew I felt funny. But as I look back now, I mean, I was at a greater risk back in the ninth grade.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and so Mike asked the question, how far it goes back? It goes back as far as it needs to go back because, I mean, how many people have had that experience in the eighth, maybe seventh or sixth grade? So, I mean, it is a systemic problem that goes all the way back from Little League all the way up to the National Football League.
Yeah. And certainly, Mike, in regard to tackling, you think, I believe you said last time you were on the show, that you think perhaps at the younger stages, Pop Warner and such, they should be playing flag football instead of tackle football. They would still be sort of running
I mean,
and
I'm
catching
always of
and
the
throwing.
Opinion that a good athlete can start football in eighth or ninth grade because he's a good athlete. He's
right.
going to end up being the star. Because the problem is you go out, watch Pop Warner this day and age, and everybody's kid's going to be in the NFL. Realistically, one out of every guy in the whole city is going to be in the NFL.
Right, because there's only some 1,600
out of 4 million that originally started.
That end up in the NFL.
Can't all be the star.
And we got two stars sitting right here with us.
Folks of American Adversaries, we're in for a hard break, but we'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp and vitamin-based antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It is totally safe for kids, pets, and yourself. Do yourself a favor, RoxyPacifics.net. Now here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
You know, Congress is right now contemplating, deliberating a crucial resolution to give the president the right, the authority to act in Syria. But SoundbiteRx.com has found a troubling pattern in his other decisions concerning the Middle East.
That's right, Chris. Everything that Obama has done has a pattern to it. His consistent backing of the Muslim Brotherhood in Libya and Egypt has had terrible consequences on the way we're viewed in the world, the way that this war is going and all of the wars in the Middle East are going, and I think that he's just tainted the way everyone views America, and it's just on a downward spiral.
You know, when he was first elected president, he was elected at least in part on the promise that he was going to rejuvenate America's prestige in the world, turn around the negative feelings in the world toward the United States. Seems as though he's done quite the opposite.
He's done exactly the opposite. We are not respected by anyone in the world. Even our closest ally in the Middle East, Israel, questions us and questions his motives, and they should, because he, again, has a consistent pattern of backing the Muslim Brotherhood or anything that is that has to do with the Muslims and their internal wars and the social strife that's going on over there.
And certainly if he were to come down very hard against Assad in Syria, once again, he'd be doing the same thing.
I agree. The ramifications are serious and long-term.
Serious and long-term. That's
absolutely
right, folks. Okay, and you will find this sort of information at SoundbiteRx. That's SoundbiteRx.com. That's where you're going to get the full story, the whole story, and nothing but the truth. Okay, so go to SoundbiteRx.com. Thank you, Ted Bogert.
Thank you.
Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
Okay, welcome back, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and we got a couple of great guys in the studio with us. If you would like to participate in the conversation about NFL football, the state of NFL football, or if you just want to talk a little NFL games that are going to be happening starting tonight. Call us at 407-774-8255. I'm Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we have Mike McBath, former Buffalo Bill, and Elgin Davis, former New England Patriot. Turns out the New England Patriots are playing tonight, but there's sort of a more interesting dynamic going on here in the studio, because this weekend, Mike McBath, former Penn Stater, the Penn State Nittany Lions are playing the UCF Golden Knights. And, Elgin, you're a Golden Knight. That's so right. Who's going to win that game?
Well, you already knew the answer to that question. You don't even know what
it's next weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it next weekend?
Right, because UCF is playing FIU.
FIU, that's right.
Yeah. And okay. Are they in a top anything?
Well, that's what you say. It's a warm-up game.
Hey, here the cheerleaders are nice.
Well, that might be pretty nice.
UCF, I think, has got a pretty good program going out there. In all seriousness, Mike, you guys were talking during the break, and you think that UCF's going
to... No, I can only give great accolades to UCF. Yeah. I think that program has just evolved. It's going to be one of the premier programs, believe me, in the country before it's over. And you know what? Most of the fellows I've met that are graduates of UCF and have played professional football, pretty darn good guys, and they have their head on straight. And I think, and Elgin, you would even know this as much as O'Leary is. He's from the Paterno school, the old school, man. You do it right or you're out. And I think it's a well-disciplined team. I'll let Elgin talk a little bit about how he thinks next week is going to go. Yeah. Up at Penn State in front of 100,000 people.
Well, you know what, Mike, in all due fairness to you, my friend.
Here she comes.
You know, I really love you a whole lot, but I just got to talk some plain talk right now.
Here's the knife.
It ain't happening, brother. I think we're going to go up there and we're going to shock the world, because I think that, you know, the adversity that, in due fairness to Penn State, they went through a lot of adversity last year. And adversity does two things. It brings you closer, or it divides you more. And I think those that are there, they're committed, and you're going to find something great coming out of that group of guys. But I got to talk about Central Florida right now. And we have some of the best athletes in the state of Florida. I think we all know that. And at one time, Florida, Florida State, Miami, I mean, they were pretty much just getting all of the talent and winning national championships. But that's changed. And some of those players that you see in the National Football League, you know, our program now is beginning to attract those players. And that's what I believe that's kind of like leading up into the success of this program over the last couple of years. So I think that Penn State, you know, better watch out.
I think O'Leary has a lot to do with that, but you know, there's another man I think has a lot to do with better talent, if you will, coming to UCF, Dante Culpepper.
Absolutely. Well, I spoke with Dante recently, and I was just very humbled, because in 86, there were two guys that was drafted from the National Football League from UCF. It was myself and Teddy Wilson. And prior to then, they said it could never be done, that nobody can come from UCF and make it to the pros. And so, you know, I am honored to be an ambassador of that school, because what I think I helped to contribute is say that, hey, it can be done. And those barriers are brought down. And ever since 1986 up until last year, when I think the running back, Latavius, can't think of his last name, but he went to the Raiders.
Yeah.
There's been a player drafted from UCF
every day.
I was drafted.
Every season.
Well, LG, we have a call here, but before we go to it, last week on our show, Mike mentioned something I didn't really think of. You know, it was a phenomenon here in Florida, in that we've got a state where you can play sports year-round, and you can't necessarily do that in states up north and other places where you can't be outside all day long, plus it gives you a chance to play other sports.
That's right.
And I think that plays into the point, too.
Yes.
We were to go to our call.
Yeah, let's go to Rick. Rick, thank you for calling
and
tonight.
And what's a safety, anyway? Football safety.
Okay, Rick, thanks for calling. You wanted to talk about football safety, I think. Do we have Rick?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, are you there now?
Yeah, we're here right now, buddy.
We can hear you now. You're once again, your comment on football.
Yeah, I think what we're getting into is the bubble wrap society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a kid, you know, I grew up watching the Raiders with Geritol George Blanda, who today could be a quarterback at 45. Come on. The game has changed, yes, but so has our society. We're getting to the point where boys are not allowed to be boys and men are not allowed to be men. We have football to take the place of the Coliseum.
Now,
you know,
Rick,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, Rick, I will agree with you because I played back when George Blanda and them were there. But, I mean, really, when you do go back there, you realize that you had six preseason games instead of four. You had a squad of 40 instead of 53. You know, you had a situation where you played through every type of pain, whether it was good or bad. I don't know if the doctors knew anything at the time. I mean, I can even remember that when it was hot out, they told you to load up on salt. Right. Not a good idea.
Day jobs.
I did that too one time.
I can remember.
Everybody had day jobs.
Oh, and let me tell you, like, when I was playing, I went to graduate school. Most of the guys on our team were working because my starting salary in 68, and I was a fifth-round draft choice, you'll love this, was $13,000.
Wow.
My
yeah,
friends.
Bart Starr was getting $15,000 when he won two Super Bowls.
Yep.
And he worked at a car lot up in Wisconsin.
And I recall that. And, I mean, so the game certainly has evolved. And even
the game has evolved, but people are getting to the point. Remember when you were a kid, people would die in combine accidents?
Oh, yeah.
People mm-hmm. would die because seat belts were optional.
Yeah. I see the direction you're going in, Rick. I want to thank you for calling tonight. You're absolutely right. You know, Teddy Roosevelt, you know, back when he was president, there were actually people who were calling for the abolition of football. And there are some people out there today saying the same thing.
Back then, was it even a football or was it still a round ball?
Oh, no, it was a football. You know, Mike can tell you. He was around back then.
Oh, thanks a lot. You're a funny guy, Chris.
He said if you did abolish the game, and I would go along to say if you drastically change it, he said that you would be turning out mollycoddles instead of vigorous men. You would give in to the weakness of the desire for total safety, you know, rather than, you know, the sport of football kind of is the personality of America, if you will. And if you try to make it too safe, you sort of take something basic away from the game.
Well,
I think
it's toughness has a lot to do with it.
And I think that's what Rick was saying, and I think that's what Teddy Roosevelt was saying. Guys?
I'll give you a great story. When I was finished football, I was over in Moscow. And I've had some pretty funny stories over there, but this was one. I'm talking to one of their commanders, you know, in the military, and the guy goes, "You know why America is so tough?" I go, "Why?" He goes, "Because you have football." And he said, "Think about it. You take all these millions of kids, they're taught an organized sport, they're taught to compete at the maximum, mm-hmm. they're taught to think when they compete, mm-hmm. and they're taught to be a machine." Mm-hmm. And he said, "You are so well organized, and you look mm-hmm. at our military. Look how well organized our military is, you know, under most circumstances." Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to beat America,
yeah.
And I think with the
when they're big, tough men yeah. acting like big, yeah. tough yeah. men. You don't throw a football to the cheerleader.
We're not metrosexuals. Yeah. Yeah.
And, no.
And I'm so feeling all y'all right now because you're all on point. You know, life is tough.
Yes.
And I think that
There are bullies, aren't
right.
there, Elgin?
There are principles in football that every person can take to make life a little better. And I think that it's not necessarily the throwing of the ball or the fastness how fast a guy can run. But I think what people are really seeing and what they really fall in love with is the discipline, the principles, the focus, the dedication, you know.
Teamwork.
Mm-hmm. And those are life principles that we as athletes have been able to fashion and develop. And so many of us, when we go out into the corporate world or the business world, we've able to transfer those principles that we learn on the field. And now we become better businessmen off the field. And I think every home sees those ingredients while we're playing the game. And I think that's what probably the president, Teddy Roosevelt, was probably talking about, because there is something in the game that attracts people to the game. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a multi-billion dollar sport.
Industry. That's right.
That's right.
Let's go now to Diane, who also would like to join the conversation. Thank you for calling tonight, Diane.
Hey, you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
And I totally agree with Elgin, right?
Hey, he's got it together, doesn't he?
I mean, that's exactly what it's all about, and I'm so sorry that they're chickifying this game. it's going to be so sad because of politics and money.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I've had 3 concussions in my life, and I've never played football.
Wow.
It does happen to other people, that's for sure.
Life is dangerous.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of the few sports, it's not a David versus Goliath thing. You've got big men going against other big men, and so you can't say, oh, well, he was the smaller guy or whatever. It's
And I think the other aspect of it, too, is, in any sport, be it football, tennis, there's an inherent risk to any sport. Now, certainly we want to mitigate the risk the best we can through, you know, concussion studies, et cetera. But, you know, look at the race car drivers. Do you think every minute? Well, I mean, look at the risk they take. What do? Have them run their car at 30 miles an hour so no one get hurt?
Right.
I mean, you know, there's going to be risk. We just got to work on cutting it the best we can.
And develop the technology of the protective gear. Perhaps they've gone maybe the wrong way in the development of the helmet. Maybe there's something in the helmet that they could be doing different that would provide better protection for the brain. Mm-hmm. Because right now the helmet is more designed to protect the skull.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe they should concentrate more on what's inside the skull, which is what we try to do around here, ladies and gentlemen, on the American Adversaries. Let's talk a little football. The season starts tonight. The Patriots open up against the Broncos.
Well, one quick second. I wanted to respond to Elgin about, you know, he told me how great UCF was, which I will agree. I think they have a great team.
All right.
But Elgin.
Yes.
Penn State had a freshman quarterback who never played a game, and he threw for 277 yards this week. Elgin, our defense, sacked the guy numerous times. Elgin, we played a team that won 8 games last year in the ACC. And, yes, I think you're going to come up there, and I do believe this. If you score 21-28, you'll win.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the question is going to be, I'm looking forward to the FIU game, is if your defensive line doesn't sack that guy, you know, FIU lost to Maryland. Maryland, are you kidding me? He lost to him 44-10. I can't wait to see how it turns out, because if your defensive line isn't rushing the passer,
hold on. We need to watch that game together, brother, side by side.
guys, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Elgin Davis, former UCF and New England Patriots star, and Mike McBath, Penn Stater, as you might have just deduced, and played for the Buffalo Bills. We're the American Adversaries. Stick around. 407-774-8255 is the number.
Hey folks, I'm Lair Adams, sitting here talking to Ed Roxy of Roxy Pacifics. Let me ask a question, buddy. What is Roxy Pacifics?
Roxy Pacifics is a kelp water that clears acne and eczema.
Wow, that's incredible. Does it have any side effects?
There's absolutely no side effects. All of its natural minerals are vitamin B1, B2, B3, B5, and B6, omega-3, magnesium. It's a perfect fit for skin.
Here in Florida, a lot of people have problems with sunburn, especially summertime. How is this on sunburn?
It works immediately. If you have a sunburn, you spray this on. Within seconds, the burn goes away.
We do have a lot of poison ivy and poison oak, and I understand it's great for that.
Oh, yeah, I just got a call about that one right there. It says it soothes the poison ivy. It's an antibacterial, an anti-inflammatory. It pulls the heat away from the skin.
Thanks so much, Ed. Folks, you can get yours at roxypacifics.net. That's Roxy, R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X on the end, or call 619-654-4829. Roxy Pacifics.
The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back, folks. Before we get back to the conversation, I just want to tip you off something that's going on this Saturday that's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you'll come out and be a participant in this. It's going to be a turkey calling contest. That's right. Mosquito Creek Outdoors and the Wekiva Springs Strutters are going to hold their first annual Mosquito Creek Outdoors Open Turkey Calling Contest or Championship. It's this Saturday. That's September 7th. This Saturday, it's going to be at Mosquito Creek Outdoors up here on South Washington Avenue in Apopka. You can register that morning. Registration will be from 9 to 10:30 a.m. And the contest will commence at 12:30 p.m. All right, there are going to be different divisions, including a owl hooting contest, a senior open, a southern open, and a gobbling contest. The entry fee for juniors is $20. For teens, teams. The divisions, is $50, and winners will advance to the National Wild Turkey Federation Contest in 2014. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's at Mosquito Creek Outdoors in Apopka this Saturday. Registration is 9 to 10:30. The contest is at 12:30. And if you can make that goblin sound, come on down.
Now, now, Chris, this is Mosquito Creek. Aren't they having any mosquito calling contest? I'm good at it.
No, you got to come out and do your goblin contest. So.
What? Last thing you hear.
All right, if they called me out to do a turkey calling contest, I'd be out there going,
Obama, Obama, Kerry, Kerry, McCain, McCain.
I'd be calling all those turkeys.
Yeah, I'd call congressmen.
You know that's right. You got that right.
I'd call every one of them.
Okay, let's get back to something serious here. Football. The season starts tonight, and it's not going to be the New England Patriots against the Denver Broncos. It's the Baltimore Ravens against the Denver Broncos. I guess having Elgin Davis sitting here next to me being a New England Patriot had me going there. So, but real quick, Mike, you wanted to make before we do that, Elgin, you have a book. You've
yes.
written a book.
Absolutely.
And it's called Why Did It Happen to Me? Why Did It Happen to Me about?
Well, you know, I felt that my life had some value to those that were following in my footsteps, be it athlete or just the adversities of life, my upbringing, which was, it was somewhat difficult as a youth. But through the principles that my mother and my father and my grandparents taught me, they gave me something that would endure through the storms. And I felt that so many people was facing storms in their lives, be it in their marriages or in their finances or just dealing with tough situations. And I felt that if some of those principles could be shared to those that need them, then maybe their outcome in life would have been as productive as mine. So I came up with this book and found I had a skill and a talent to write. And expressing my feelings came with ease, man. And I wrote, and I published this book. And so it gave me a lot of joy, and I consider it one of the greatest accomplishments of my life.
Elgin, it sounds like the key to what you're saying was family.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And I'm not talking about just black youth America. I'm talking black and white, all youth in this country.
That's right.
It all comes down to family, doesn't it?
That's right, because family is the cornerstone of our nation. And when there's no strong family, there could be no strong community. And what we have to get back is strengthening our family. And it starts with being an example and living.
Father staying at home.
Exactly.
Raising their babies.
Exactly. And so my dad certainly did that for me. And he had his adversities in life. He certainly did. But you know what, Larry? My father loved me unconditionally. He never made more than $4 an hour. And I watched my dad pick up cans and hustle to make ends meet. And he suffered from alcoholism, but he wanted me to have a better life. And he gave me everything that a young man could possibly have, and that's love. He never missed a football game in 16 years. So I had support. And I had a mother that nurtured me. She was a prayer. She believed in God, and she, you know, she inculcated those principles in me. And I grew up with that. And when times got hard and I didn't know where to turn to, I learned how to turn to God. I know how to pray. And it's that that got me through hard times. And to this very day, my goals are still very lawful. And, you know, I've set high goals for myself. And when I feel sometimes it's a little rough or maybe I don't know if I'm going to get there, those things that my parents taught me some 40-some-odd years ago are resurrected today. And I can use those things back then. I can use them today to be successful. So that's what the book is about. The book can be purchased at any bookstore. You can order it right online. And it's called Why Did It Happen to Me?
And we'll put it up on our website as well. And you've got a book signing coming up. You said in about a month.
Very, very, very soon. And I'm about to start my book signing tour again and really promote this book because I think it is a book that transcends sports, Larry. Mm-hmm. And however, there are principles in it that are sports related, but they're universal principles that I think every person could relate to. It transcends gender, ethnicity, and race. And so no matter if you are male, female, if you are a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't make a difference. You can find something in this book to draw strength from.
Because it's always about family.
Absolutely.
Just like sports.
Absolutely.
And I will say one thing. You know, he's been a major contributor. He comes out to our meetings and participates. And He sold a lot of books at our meetings because a lot of the fellows have read it, and the principles that he talked about, you know, certainly applicable in every aspect of life, be it business.
When is that signing, Chris?
Well, we're going to have you back before you begin on a signing tour so we can talk just about your book because it's a fascinating story. And
that's
it
right.
is. You're absolutely right. These are things that everybody can use.
That's right. And it's important for your guests to know that it's not where you come from
that's
that
right.
determines where you're going. And I talk to so many of our young boys who have their pants, you know, beneath their waist, and they say, well, the reason I can't be successful is because I don't have a father, or maybe I'm poor, or maybe I grew up in this neighborhood or that neighborhood. None of it is acceptable today, because if you can have vision and you have faith and you have belief in yourself, because God has given every one of us a talent to work with, it's up to us to cultivate it and believe in it and reach our destiny. That's what that book is about. It helps you to tap into your inner being so you can be successful.
Wow, great stuff. Mike?
I think it was terrific. I'm waiting for him to want to run for office.
You're right, not a bad idea.
All right.
Before we get out of here, how far is Alabama going to go? Are they going to go all the way again?
My prediction is, I initially, having done all the reading, et cetera, thought they would be number one. I don't think they will be by the end of the year.
All right, who's going to go to the Super Bowl? Elgin.
Well, out of the NFC, I'm pulling for Seattle. I think all the elements are there, and I think they're going to go. And on
New
the
England?
AFC, you know it, baby.
New England.
Can I get a Patriot Nation?
Mike, you concur?
I'll tell you, I will say, like, what he's mentioning about is, you know, Brady's hard to bet against.
Yeah,
and Belichick, I never saw a guy take such a group of players, put them together, and he always comes out with a winning machine. Now, lucky for them, this week they open up against you-know-who, the Bills. So this is a true story. Normally the Bills have a lot of the retired players back for the opening date. This year we're going back next week.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for being with us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes.
Look forward to having you back. Mike McBath, Elgin Davis, God bless you both. And Elgin, I can't wait to get a copy of your book.
Hey, I can't wait to give it to you.
Why Did It Happen to Me? Go to the bookstores, folks, and get it.
Absolutely. The fastest hour on radio. I don't care what anybody says about 3 hours. This is the fastest hour. And we'll be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Night, everybody.
News Talk 660 WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando. 660 WORL.com. Division of Salem Communications. On the NASDAQ is SA.